you know, I get to play a game for a living, man. Like, this is, like, my dream. I feel like I'm entering my prime, and I feel like I'm an NBA player. And, you know, like, I texted him the other day and telling him to come out to Australia, and he's like, yeah, one day, we got some good horse racing out here. So I strongly believe we have all the pieces to do that now if I'm back here next year. But regardless, definitely something that I want to do in the future. It's never kind of job done. There's always things you can get better at, and that's the great challenge of it all.
Welcome back to another episode of The Huddle. Excites me greatly because the man I'm about to talk about, we haven't seen for a while around the NBL circles, just announced back with Melbourne United, but we'll continue to talk about his career because we love to follow what he does. Jack White. Whitey, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure as always, mate.
Let's talk about what it feels like to be home, because you've come home, you've had a lot go on, not just in the last 12 months, but since we last saw you in the NBL. But what does it feel like every time you return?
It's always a great time. I mean, obviously away for the majority of the time in the States over the last couple of years, but just coming back and seeing family, friends, catching up with people, and I guess just coming back to Melbourne and getting into a routine and working out's always a good thing, always good seeing familiar faces, and just enjoying it.
Plenty to chat about in terms of what you've been through in your career, what's coming up, because we know the Boomers is the sole focus right now. How are you feeling about the workouts and everything, getting ready to head away to Boomers camps? I know there's a camp in LA before the real Boomers camp. We know you've had a taste of it already. Does everything that goes on in your career become overwhelming at any point to you, or do you just take it in stride?
No, I think just taking it in stride for the most part. I mean, you realise, you know, getting into professional sports and especially basketball, there's a lot of things that you can't control and whatnot. So just really embracing the things that I can control and, you know, super fortunate to be in the position that I am. I mentioned last year, had the awesome opportunity to go to Japan and represent the Boomers, and obviously looking to build on that this summer and head to Paris. But pretty consumed by, you know, my preparation and lead up to that. Getting into a good routine, working out at Hoop City with a bunch of the United guys, and you know, they always look after me. They always do a great job. It's always good. Feeling super welcomed whenever I come back home and having sort of that home away from home. The preparation's been going really well. I'm feeling really good. Super excited to, you know, head back to the States for this camp in LA and then keep building up to camp at the end of next month.
What's it feel like to be sitting here with the United logo on your chest once again? Because I know your dream and your goal is to solidify yourself in the NBA, which every Australian basketball fan, especially United fans, know that's probably where you belong. But to be back in playing for Melbourne, you know how much pride you have in playing with Melbourne and growing up in Traralgon. What's it feel like to be wearing it again?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome, man. I mean, as I said, you know, whenever I come back, they're always super welcoming and super accommodating of, you know, everything that I want to achieve, and, you know, giving me that home away from home that I need. So I'm not trekking, you know, from Traralgon every day. But super proud, obviously, to have played for Melbourne United, be a part of a championship-winning team. But obviously back then had the Achilles injury, which put me out for a bit, and, you know, sort of had to watch that championship from the sidelines. So it's definitely something, you know, at some point in my career I want to be on the court when we win, and you know, strongly believe we have all the pieces to do that now if I'm back here next year. But regardless, definitely something that I want to do in the future.
I've spoken to you a little bit about playing for Melbourne in the past, and when you weren't here and you were chasing your goal overseas at the time, and we know that technically the Melbourne United have your rights, but even before that, calm a lot of Melbourne United fans, I guess, feelings and emotions that it's hard to ever see you really in another jersey around the league. You know, you were Melbourne, you won a title, you said you obviously want to be on the floor to win another. Is that how it feels to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I guess I pride myself on being a loyal guy, and especially with how they've treated me in the past, you know, supporting my international goals, and again, having Hoop City be a home away from home, the coaches just, you know, straight away in their off-season helping me out with my workout. It's always great to see the front office people. I mean, there's just so many great people and a great culture around at the club, and something that I've been super fortunate to be a part of, obviously coming out of college and having that great experience. It's something that I definitely want to get back to in the NBL with them, and, you know, bring great team success to them as a club. I think they deserve it. I think they go about things the right way and treat their players and staff and fans, supporters, with great respect and appreciation. So, you know, I guess for me, as you said, it's a home away from home, and if I can help bring championships to Melbourne, then that's something I'd be absolutely stoked to do. And can't see myself in any other uniform.
The roster that United's putting together for NBL 25, and you mentioned your desire to continue to chase your goal of being back in the NBA. The unknown part of that, are you better at dealing with that now because you've had to experience it for a few years? What was it like when you first got the taste of, okay, I've got my first taste of, with the Nuggets over there, and when things move on from that, do you think you're better equipped to deal with it now having been through it?
Absolutely. I think, again, it just sort of comes with age and experience and sort of years under your belt that I've had, obviously playing in the NBL, experiencing that, but then, you know, being on a two-way with the Nuggets, obviously going all the way there, signing with OKC, getting cut last minute, going to the G League. I mean, again, it's just something that you have to embrace sort of with the unpredictable nature of professional basketball, especially overseas. But again, something that you have to embrace and sort of learn to accept, and something that I felt like I've done a good job of accepting is sort of rolling with the punches and, you know, different adversities and whatnot. Obviously with injuries, getting cut, you know, this is probably not going to be the last time that happens in my career. It's just how it is. But, you know, I guess how I rebounded from the last injury and how I've able to sort of to, you know, being able to rebound from, you know, getting cut from different teams and still being able to achieve my goals that I want to, gives me confidence that I'll be able to roll with the punches as my career continues. But again, I mean, I'm super fortunate, obviously, to do what I do and play basketball for a living. I'm living out my childhood dream along with many other kids' dreams, and you know, I'm never going to take that for granted. So yeah, just got to control what I can, like I said before, just got to control what I can control, and you know, try and mitigate all the negative stuff that comes along with, you know, failures and injuries and different adversities.
Before we look back at all that, where are we currently at with you wearing the Melbourne United top and then NBL 25 around the corner, when you're still chasing now an Olympic dream, you're chasing another NBA dream, knowing that, okay, if the NBA dream is not this year, but I'm going back to the NBL, and that is now a legitimate pathway that I'm just going to go in there with even more of a chip on my shoulder, do you feel that you have that sense of security, I guess calmness, that whatever happens now in the next few months is okay? Because if I've got an NBL 25 season, I know that I'm going to take full advantage of that, then that opportunity will come again.
Absolutely. And I think part of that confidence comes from me doing it in the past. You know, I've learned a lot in my time, been fortunate enough to have great teammates at United that I've learned from, as well as obviously the coaching staff. Can't speak highly enough of both of those parties. But yeah, you know, whatever happens in the next few months, I'll control what I can control again, and obviously hoping to, you know, achieve those dreams that I've been dreaming about since I was a little kid. And obviously I'm still relatively young, I feel like. I'm still in pretty good nick. So yeah, you know, I feel like I'm entering my prime and I feel like I'm an NBA player, but, you know, just need to try and find the right, I guess, opportunity, the right setting to sort of embrace that. So yeah, a bit of luck's involved there, obviously, with timing, opportunity and everything else. But again, just trying to control what I can control, stay ready for whatever opportunity comes my way. And if that doesn't work out, couldn't be happier to be back in the NBL and, you know, fight for a championship first and foremost, but obviously try and keep developing, you know, my individual game and, you know, climbing back up to where I believe I should be in the NBA at the highest level.
Did you? I know you watch a lot of NBL when you are overseas. Did you watch the championship series just go on pretty closely, thinking that it's like, okay, that they fell short? When I come back, we're not falling short. Like, I'm ready to take this back to where I should belong.
I don't think it's just on me. Yeah. I think we have all the pieces regardless. Again, super, you know, fun team to watch regardless, and just the league in general was super fun to watch, obviously. Tassie being a new team, being able to get the chip, huge credit to them, and they've built an amazing culture and team down there, and obviously super well coached by Scotty. And so yeah, it was great to watch just as a fan from afar. But you know, if I'm going to put my, you know, competitive hat on, and if I'm going to be back in the league, then I firmly believe that I can help us win a championship, along as I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the rest of the boys and the whole organization. You know, we firmly believe that we can do that as a club at Melbourne. But again, you know, it's a long season. You've got to have a bit of luck involved. Staying healthy is obviously a big thing, but, you know, hitting your form at the right time, having that, you know, good culture, the gelling that you want. So yeah, there are many pieces to the puzzle, but yeah, I believe that the boys will be able to get it done regardless if I'm there or not. But obviously if I'm here, it's something that I, you know, want to be a big part of.
Let's go back to when you first went overseas and that two-way deal with the Nuggets. What was it like? Do you remember walking into the facility the first time and obviously seeing guys like Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, we'll talk a little bit about? Were you nervous? Was it daunting at all?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, obviously, growing up on the other side of the world, being an NBA fan growing up, you sort of have a perception of what things are going to be like over there without really truly having a, you know, the right idea of what it's actually going to be like. So that sort of period, I guess 2 years ago now, right around this time, it was just sort of one thing after the next. You know, finished up the NBL season, was playing a bit of NBL 1, played for the Boomers at the qualifiers, which was a dream come true and something that was truly special to be able to do in front of friends and family in Melbourne. And then, yeah, had went to Summer League, arrived a little late to the preparation camp. But again, they supported me with, you know, my dream of playing for the national team. That's sort of always going to be at the top of my list and the thing that sort of brings the most meaning to me with my game and what I want to do with my career. But yeah, fortunately, you know, bit of luck, had a good week at Summer League, got the two-way contract and, yeah, so sort of stuck it out over there for majority of the summer and got some good work in. Like MPJ came in early and, you know, you have guys like Jamal funneling in, Jokic, obviously, a bit later on when we had training camp and media day and everything, so.
Last minute guy.
It is. Well, he's got to get his time in with his horses and time in Sombor, but yeah, like the thing that I guess I was most grateful for and most excited about was just the sense that I sort of belonged and these guys weren't different to me just as people. And I think, you know, you can credit that to the organization and the recruiting and the culture that they've sort of developed there. And I think obviously Jokic is a perfect example of that. He's all about the team and the best player in the world, obviously just won his third MVP, which is ridiculous.
Should be four,
yeah. I agree. But yeah, like these guys come in and, you know, kind of took me under their wing as a rookie in a new environment and made me feel super comfortable. And
How does that make you feel looking back at where we are now? A kid from Traralgon gets taken under the wing by the greatest basketball player on the planet right now. It's surreal to even say it. I'm sure it's even weirder to live it.
Well, even though I did live it, it's just absurd to sort of like revisit that thought. And, you know, like I texted him the other day and telling him to come out to Australia and he's like, yeah, one day, we got some good horse racing out here. So trying to, you know, play my cards right to get him out here, the big fella. But again, just a genuine person, probably something that I won't truly appreciate till it's all said and done. Mm. I think I could say that about a lot of the things in my career and things that's just sort of go, go, go. There's not really much time to sort of sit back and reflect. So it is, you know, cool to sit here with you and, you know, you've been through it. You know, you've played professional hoops. You've known how...
Not quite on your level, but...
You've played professional hoops. You're nice with it. You got a chip, you know. Let's not take that away from you. But, you know, it's pretty hectic and, you know, I've been fortunate to, you know, have different opportunities pop up here and there and sort of just be nonstop with it. So super fortunate and, yeah, again, something that I'm probably not going to truly reflect on and appreciate till it's all said and done.
Tell us a little about the lifestyle of, before the G League, the two-way deal, because a lot of us, without really understanding the way it all works, you just assume two-way. Sometimes you're on a Nuggets bench, sometimes you're not, and then you're there when you get called up. Is it as hectic as it seems, or is it even more hectic?
I mean, it's pretty hectic. Yeah. I think, well, especially with the Nuggets, like the G League teams in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is, you know, a couple hours flight, is the quickest way to get there. So I'd sort of get, you know, thrown a mock calendar of each month.
Can't imagine that's too accurate.
Yeah, exactly. sometimes it was, but, you know, obviously injuries happen, you know, different things come up and whatnot. So you just need to be ready for anything. Like I remember, like one of the most absurd times I had to go meet the Nuggets boys. I was about to take a nap on game day and literally just put my phone down. And then I get a call from our team coordinator saying, hey, can you get to the airport in 90 minutes, you know, coach wants you back in town for a game. And I'm like, oh, geez, yep, sure. And like, let the, you know, coach with Grand Rapids know. I'm like, yeah, I got to run. So it can happen, you know, pretty crazily like that. But for the most part, got fortunate again, because, you know, Nuggets guys fortunately stayed healthy for the most part during the year. So again, it was kind of, you know, blessing and a curse that they were able to stay healthy, because it sort of didn't give me a lot of opportunity on an NBA floor. But still just being in that environment, obviously being in practice, being around the locker room, the amount of learning that just naturally occurs is pretty surreal. So yeah, you just got to be ready for anything. But I think the great thing was, you know, I was, if I'm going to be with the Nuggets and not getting that court time, I'm able to get that and continue to work on my game in a game setting with the Grand Rapids Gold in the G League. And, you know, being coached by Andre Miller, like obviously a legend of the game. And, you know, we had a great team there. And guys I still, you know, keep up with and talk to this day. So just like the Nuggets. So I think it's a credit to the organization for, you know, on all levels, from front office, the Nuggets, coaching staff, down to the G League with the Grand Rapids guys. It's just great people. And, you know, you come into an environment every day where it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like a chore. And, you know, that's something I need to remind myself of. I mean, sometimes through the hecticness of basketball, but, you know, I get to play a game for a living, man. Mm. Like, this is like my dream. So again, super fortunate to do what I'm doing, and yeah, couldn't be happier with, you know, those opportunities that came my way there.
You're an incredibly humble guy, but I'd imagine you'd sit here with a sense of pride, especially with that Nuggets year, with the limited opportunities that when you did get out on the NBA floor and you took them, knowing that anybody else, not so much stage fright, but because they're so random and they could come for some two-way players a lot more than others, mm. but the way that you took that every opportunity that you had, you must sit here being like, I'm very proud of myself for the way I handled that.
Yeah, a bit. And I guess, too, it is motivating because, you know, as a competitor, you want more. Mm. And, you know, I guess at that level, I'd pride myself on being a, you know, an elite role player and, you know, playing off guys like Jokic who play the right way and, you know, spacing the floor, getting rebounds, playing defense, being a good teammate. I think, you know, the thing about my game, especially, you know, understanding how I can contribute to that level, like I'm not going to be a guy that's putting up 20 shots a game or, you know, dancing around with the ball in my hands. It's more, you know, what can I do, you know, in the simplest terms to help us win? Mm. And I believe that, you know, winning and obviously being a part of a team sport, you know, if you focus on the things that you can do individually to help better the team and help us win, then, you know, all your individual goals and the rest of it will take care of itself. And that's something that was sort of drilled into me from an early age, being a country kid. It's a bit more team oriented, you know, going through state teams and having super talented teammates and great teammates, great, you know, just camaraderie within different locker rooms, as well as, you know, I've got to give credit to Latrobe City Energy back when I was like 14 years old playing men's basketball, and you know, those guys taking me under my wing, and even now coming back and, you know, being around Hoop City, and or when I went to the Institute of Sport, being around younger guys, just trying to, I guess, pay that forward and understand the value in that. So again, I've been super fortunate with the people, the coaches, my family, obviously, but everyone who's sort of, I guess, supported me into molding me into, I guess, who I am today. But, you know, always trying to get better, always trying to learn. And I think that's the beauty of it. You know, it's never kind of job done. There's always things you can get better at. And that's the great challenge of it all.
We always hear from coaches and people is for the advice to young people to star in their role. And you epitomize that. Your role, as you mentioned, overseas is a lot different than we would see in the NBL and a lot of other places, I'm sure, growing up. Specifically, Summer League and then the G League doesn't necessarily suit a style of play that you are. Same with Luke Travers, for Melbourne United teammate as well. But you both managed to make an imprint. How? Like that, I looked at Summer League last year and what LT managed to do, what you managed to do, is stand out when you're not a high-volume guy shooting-wise. What is your mindset going into this?
I mean, it's control the controllables. I think, you know, even at Duke, you know, being a part of super talented teams, you know, Zion, RJ, Cam, I could go on and on about the teammates I sort of cross paths with there. But again, starring in your role, you know, the controllables, one is my effort at the level. Am I talking on defense? Am I having a good presence? Am I crashing the boards? Am I paying attention to the scout? Am I giving the coach any reason to take me out of the game? And I think, you know, if you take care of those controllables and you sort of set the tone with your energy and effort, and especially communications is super underrated one in my opinion, to be able to, you know, if you talk, you're wider in defense. If you talk, you're able to help your teammates. If you talk, you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about the team. And I think that sort of brought out the best in me. And again, in Summer League, I just try to, you know, do those things to start. And you know, I guess the right minds, or believing that, you know, the basketball minds are going to appreciate that part of it, and can sort of see past, you know, guys that might go to Summer League and try to think that, you know, scoring's what's going to, you know, put their name out there. And for some guys, that might be the case, you know, like higher draft picks, that's sort of the role you'd look to get into. But I guess for guys like me, I'm obviously an older rookie a couple of years ago, really trying to find my way and do everything I can. And something that I learned at United, and I guess had to do because I was a part of a super talented team. You know, you got Dally, Shilly, you know, CG, JLA, I mean, guys that can just go get it done. But how do I remain effective off the ball? Can I space the floor? How hard do I run in transition? Am I running to the corner? Am I being a good teammate? I mean, there's so many things that you can do to contribute to, I guess, bettering the team and winning. So I'd really just try to, you know, start with those things. And obviously I'm going to try and develop my individual game to be able to, you know, if I come back to the NBL, try and show a bit more than what I did 2 years ago, as I'd hope. You know, obviously I've improved over the last couple of years as a player, but again, just not losing sight of the things that I guess, helped me, you know, climb the ranks and have, you know, achieved my dreams as I have so far. But again, the challenge of it all is just, you know, it just keeps going. There's always different steps you can take going forward, and just trying to embrace that mindset, I think, has been great for me.
When you win a championship with the Nuggets, you talk very highly of the organization. What was the feeling like, one, being in Denver when it all went down? We've seen their fans the last few years, how incredible they are. What was the after party like? Were you? I can't envision you being the Deli type with the two beers in the club. That's the iconic photo of Deli. But what was it like for you to experience all of that?
I mean, it's obviously absurd. You know, I'm not a big party or anything, to say the least, but obviously you try and let loose a bit with the fellas and you know, really enjoy that moment. You know, it's something that, obviously, an organisational first for them, but, you know, something that I've been fortunate to achieve with them in my first year over there. And I think, you know, the celebrations were great. You know, guys didn't want to leave the locker room. You know, I had my agent there, Sammy, with me, and, you know, and different people that travelled out. So it was a great thing for me individually to sort of be around, you know, people that are close to me in that environment away from home. But, you know, seeing the vets and, you know, just how much it meant to them, like, I've talked to you before off camera, you know, like Jeff Green, yeah. Ish Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Reggie Jackson. Man, like even just when we made the finals, like Reggie's in tears because he was there with OKC in his rookie year, and he's like, man, I didn't think I'd be here again. And he's a mid-season trade, and just seeing how much it means to him and how much, you know, these guys want to win. And again, I speak about guys taking me under their wing and doing all the right things for 15 plus years. You know, they've had incredible careers, but you know, you put all that aside, these guys want to win, these guys want to be champions. And to achieve that with the group that we had, I think, you know, makes it even more special because, you know, we truly all loved each other and had each other's back. And, you know, guys had been through the ringer together, obviously like Jokic and Murray had been there for 8-9 years, and it's sort of been building the organization up to what it is today. And so, yeah, for me to be, you know, I guess behind the curtain and enjoy that with all them and watch the progression during the year and how we improved and getting the number one seed is one, but you know, going through the playoffs is a whole different beast as we're seeing right now. So for us to be able to get that job done and achieve our ultimate goal, and you know, this was something we talked about day one at training camp, and you know, I think just having that true belief and working towards something that you know, you truly feel that you can get done is special, and obviously getting it done at the end is you know, it's unreal.
And you spoke a little bit about bringing the championship ring back to Traralgon. If I told 12-year-old Jack White in Traralgon that, and you mentioned the Duke fraternity, that you were one phone call away from calling Nikola Jokic, Coach K, Zion, all of that. Would you have believed me?
Not at all, dude. I mean, I don't really have much to say other than that. Like, I would not have. I probably would have started trying to talk about something else. Or at that point, it would have been picking your brain how to be a hooper, man, because you were getting that done back in the day when I was 12 years old. So. But no, it's absurd.
It's surreal. It's surreal to think about that, and you've still got so many chapters left in your career, but what you've been through already, the successes you've had to come back from adversity to reach those success. Not everybody can say they went to a college like Duke. Not everybody can say that they have people vouch for them in the corner like one of the greatest coaches of all time in Coach K, and then to go and join the program and be learning from Nikola Jokic. It's do you ever allow yourself to have a pinch-me moment of like, I've come so far? And again, we said your story's only not even half written.
Yeah, sometimes. I think it's sort of a bit more amplified when I go back to Traralgon. I'm just at home with the family and
the
just sort of
Coach
taking
K
it easy. No, nothing like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, just obviously reflecting on, you know, kind of the path that I've taken, the amount of incredible people that have, you know, been in my corner and influenced me to, you know, chase my dream. And obviously, when I was 12, 13 years old, that's when I sort of knew in my mind that this is what I wanted to pursue. And obviously, pretty lofty goals from just a kid from Traralgon at the end of the day. And I think the thing about it is I still feel that way. I still just feel like I'm just a kid from Traralgon and still just trying to find my way and make the most of, you know, my talent, but trying to work hard to maximize my abilities as a player. And and you know, understanding that, you know, basketball career is a finite thing. You know, I can't play forever, and you know, having some injuries and stuff that have set me back is all part of it. But how have I responded? How am I gonna, you know, continue to move forward and continue to get better from that? You know, even talking about Duke, like obviously one of, if not the most prestigious basketball program, but you know, one of the great things that I loved about Duke was the education. And you know, I averaged 2 points a game, I think, from my career, and like didn't really play great, but the experience from that and I guess how I've moved forward in my career with those experiences, I think has helped me just as the Achilles has. You know, you learn a lot about it. You learn a lot about yourself when you're, you know, you have these failures and different adversities come your way. And again, you know, I wouldn't have been able to sort of rebound the way I had without great people in my corner. And so, yeah, super grateful for obviously everyone. You know, they all know who they are. But yeah, just again, makes me emotional thinking about it because, you know, having these moments of reflection, I realize truly how lucky I am. And you know, obviously I've put a lot of work in myself, but there are a lot of different pieces to the puzzle that, you know, have allowed me to do what I do today and allowed me to have the, you know, different successes that I've had in my career so far. But again, I feel like I'm, you know, just entering my prime and it's exciting for me to sort of see where I can take it, especially over the next 5 or 6 years as I'm, you know, really trying to push it to the highest level that I can. You know, hopefully I can be like, you know, these guys I've looked up to and been able to learn from, you know, DB, Newley, guys that have been able to elongate their career and still be effective. That's something that I definitely aspire to do. And so, yeah, just got to keep rolling with the punches and see what happens.
You mentioned the injuries. I don't want to talk too much about it because in the moment it was pretty widely covered, but the Achilles injury in particular, when you went down, how long did it take you after realizing what had happened for you? It's weird to say turn a negative into a positive, but to be like, okay, this is now what I'm faced with, and let's just attack this in the most positive way possible to come back stronger. Because you did, again, the incredible bounce back from what you've done in, I think it was 9.5, 10 months, the way you came back, it doesn't happen to everybody.
8.5.
It's even more ridiculous.
But yeah, I mean, I couldn't have done it without everyone in my corner. I mean, I got to shout out Steve and Nick and all the physios, coaches and stuff at Melbourne United. They're the best in the business. You know, David Young, my surgeon. I mean, these guys were incredible. You know, got me back in a time period that, you know, I thought was damn near impossible. Mm. And to come back, I guess, the way I did, how I was feeling, I felt like I was in better shape than I was before. I felt like I was jumping better than I was before. And, you know, again, these are injuries that can sort of end it for people, but you know, fortunately I was able to make a good run back at it and feel good during the Achilles, not have too many hiccups during that whole sort of 9 month process. But you know, there was definitely those dark moments at the start. You know, I love hoops. It's what I've lived and breathed for the majority of my life, and especially, you know, my rookie, I played 11 games before I did it, so there were those question marks of, one, would I ever be the same? You know, I've always had great pride in sort of looking after my body and being a good athlete and doing all those things. And, you know, am I going to be able to run the same? Am I going to be able to jump the same? Am I going to be the same player? Am I going to, you know, be able to bounce back? But yeah, everyone in my corner made me realize that I could. And obviously it's sort of baby steps over that longer recovery process. But yeah, had those dark days. And then sort of after the surgery, especially when you can sort of start building back up and doing things, even if it's just, you know, with a little band around your toe and you're sort of activating the different muscles. And yeah, once you can sort of start doing stuff, I became pretty obsessed with the process. And I guess because it was COVID as well, you know, there wasn't really much else going on for me apart from working out in the morning, coming back, recovering, eating, trying to get the bulk back in my leg. And then, you know, watching the boys win a chip was pretty inspiring for me as well. And, you know, just feeling the support, I mean, I had an overwhelming amount of messages of support from the whole basketball community and family and friends and, you know, all over the world. So it was super special and sort of, you know, made me feel like I had a lot of people in my corner. And again, I've felt that my whole career, and, you know, I don't want to let those people down for the time and effort and energy that they've invested in me. And so yeah, I'm obviously stoked to be able to, I guess, come back the way I have and continue to build on it in the years going forward.
You mentioned all the setbacks, and again, if you just look at your career where you are now, a lot of people forget that. The Achilles is one thing. Everybody's going to remember how you bounce back from that, but being cut, having to move different things, different teams in random times, you said you get the phone calls. The OKC situation where I think a lot of people were very confident that you're going to make that team. How did you deal with that? And in a weird way, did the way you bounce back from an Achilles help you realize, look, I've been through something a lot worse than just being cut from a team, like, I'll be fine here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I knew coming in, you know, there was like 21 guys on the list coming into training camp, and, you know, I'd sort of, you know, just come off the World Cup, had, I think, like a week at home and straight back on a plane to the States and try and set my life up in Oklahoma City. Sort of got that done as training camp was going. You know, I felt like I played pretty good in the preseason games and had pretty good opportunity and made great relationships with a bunch of those boys. Obviously having Josh there was a big help to, you know, getting me comfortable in that environment. But again, you know, it's part of the business. You know, unfortunately, I was the last guy. And, you know, all the feedback was very positive. They just wished that I was sort of around a bit more. But again, I was happy with the impression that I made with them. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. You know, things aren't always going to work out in your favor. But, you know, it made me, I guess, confident in a sense that
you belong.
I am at that level. Mm. And, you know, even during training camp and these games, like, I feel like, you know, I can contribute to winning at that level and that I belong there. So, if anything, it just adds more fuel to the fire, and obviously switching teams was pretty nuts. Good that it wasn't, you know, midway through the season, I could sort of get in there and get some work in with the Lakers boys leading into that G League season. But, you know, these things happen in professional hoops. You know, I'm in a very fortunate spot in my career where, you know, I've had, you know, those different opportunities and, you know, even just being like the number one pick in the G League draft, like, kind of cool, right? Yeah. And you know, with every sort of failure and loss, you know, you learn a lesson from it and you got to move forward. And, you know, fortunately I had a lot of support during that time as well. And, you know, felt like I was heading into a good situation with the Lakers, and again, had a lot of different little adversities throughout the year with injuries and whatnot, but, you know, got the call up at the end of the year I was sort of looking for at the time I least expected. But yeah, it's just how it goes. You know, you just got to be ready for anything. Just as I've sort of learned throughout my career so far, it's very erratic. It's a roller coaster ride, and as I'm sure every other kind of professional athlete could tell you, like, you just need to be ready for whatever, and, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
It's incredible to hear you talk about all the adversities in a positive light, because a lot of them, fans and everything, would agree that it's probably not the way they would have chosen if they were a part of it. The Memphis call up, and you say being ready for an opportunity. You know, being in the G League and you're just one call away from getting these opportunities, I still imagine that when the phone call does come, that everything that you thought you prepared for was like, that's out the window, like, this is real now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole process for the call up was pretty nuts. I actually had a little nerve injury in my arm to the end of the year, and I hadn't touched a ball in about a week. And obviously at that point, our G League season was over, and you know, wasn't expecting a call up, to say the least. I sort of thought that opportunity was done. But again, you know, I got a call from Sammy like early afternoon on the day of the college national championship, and I'd made plans with a mate to go watch it at his place. And then, you know, giving him the call, being like, mate, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to Memphis in a couple of hours was pretty funny. But again, like, what an incredible opportunity that came out of nowhere. And you know, in hindsight, I wish I could have been better prepared for that, and, you know, not have to deal with the injuries beforehand. But again, that's part of it. It's something that, you know, I've dealt with before, and something that, you know, you got to learn to deal with. So yeah, I was just super excited for that opportunity. And then, you know, playing the Spurs the next night, and you're on a plane to Cleveland straight after that game. Then you're playing the Nuggets and the Lakers, and matching up with LeBron and, you know, these guys that you watch as a kid. And it's all a bit surreal, especially with how quickly it happens. But again, I think it's a pretty good reflection of, you know, what professional sports is like, but especially what the NBA is like. You just need to be ready for whatever opportunity comes your way, and you never know where or when it's going to come. But, you know, I guess for me, in my mind, you know, I believe that, you know, those opportunities will fall my way if I keep doing the right things and take care of the day-to-day. And yeah, fortunately it did.
Speaking of opportunities, before we wrap this up, we've got to talk about the Boomers, because you mentioned Japan and what you got to experience. You're leading into a Boomers camp, and you talk about how well prepared you feel right now and in the best shape possible heading into it. Getting the call to be one, to be part of the camp, but also to put on the green and gold, I can imagine it doesn't get old. It just makes you even more hungry for the next tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the most special thing that you can do in sport, I think, is represent your country at the highest level. And that's something that, you know, even above the NBA, I've always wanted to do in my life. And, you know, was fortunate enough to do that at the World Cup last year. And, you know, obviously with the Olympics coming up, that's been something that I've been wanting to achieve for over half my life. And to sort of have that around the corner and that opportunity in sort of an arm's reach is something I'm not taking for granted. And to be even named along these other 16 guys heading into the camp's a great honour, and something that, you know, I'm super proud of. But yeah, feeling really good about where I sit right now with everything physically and with my game. And yet I'm just excited for the next month of preparing for that camp and yeah, excited to show what I can do and you know, hope that I can show that I can, you know, contribute to winning on that level just as I believe that I can in the NBA.
We know how competitive you are. How eager are you to get into the camp for that competitive side? Because again, we only see the outside. We talk to a lot of the Boomers guys and you hear about, oh yeah, the Boomers camp's competitive. But even as Gorge stated, like, this is going to be one of the most competitive camps yet. And it feels like for a player in your mindset, you're like, this is exactly what I want.
Yeah, but I think everyone would answer the question the same way. And I think that's the way it should be. Mm. You know, everyone takes great pride in representing their country. You know, guys have done it before. Guys know what it takes. And for a guy like me, they got a taste of it last year. But is sort of, you know, ramping up to try and go to the Olympics, and you know, I want to be a part of a medal winning team. I want to win gold. Like, why not? You know, and I think you know, just embracing that mindset, as everyone I'm sure is leading into camp, is what's going to make us better as a group. It's going to make our camp obviously super competitive, but you know, it's going to make us all better. It's going to you know, just be great preparation for leading into those practice games and in Melbourne, obviously, then, you know, hitting the road for a bit. And then by the time, you know, July 27th comes around, we're going to be, you know, firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, super excited for it. Can't wait. It's sort of like, you know, it's I think it's good that I sort of have this little US week to sort of break up my prep a little bit and, you know, just kind of not have me be too hyper obsessed with, you know, just the preparation here. But yeah, can't wait.
Last thing on the Boomers, because again, a lot of talk about changing the guard and looking at the next decade forward, the young guys, you mentioned Josh and there's Dyson. We know you've been working with Dyson Daniels down at Hoop City as well. How excited are you about the next 10 years of the Australian basketball? And again, you've had a taste of it now, but what that could potentially mean for yourself, but also the country on a basketball level, it must be very exciting to dream about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you saw these young guys coming up. You mentioned Josh and Dyson, but you know, even like Rocco, Furphy, and yeah, there's a multitude of guys coming through the ranks that are super exciting prospects and guys that I'm sure, you know, have this same dream as you know, many of us do, to represent their country at the highest level. And yeah, exciting for basketball in Australia for the future. And you know, obviously just super exciting now to, you know that, you know, we're trying to set the foundation for the future and, you know, future tournaments as the boys did back in 2021, as, you know, Bogues and Patty and Daly and Joe and Bainsey, and I mean, you could go on and on about the guys that have set the foundation for and turned the Boomers into what it is today. So I'm super fortunate and, you know, grateful to be a part of that as well. And hopefully, you know, by the time my, you know, international career is done, I've left the Boomers better than when I found it. But you know, I can't obviously take all the credit for that. There's been incredible people around that, you know, have been doing that work for years. And you know, you mentioned Patty and Joe and these guys that have been doing it for forever. Guys that I've looked up to my whole life, and to be on the same court as them and, you know, compete for a shared goal with those guys is an absolute dream come true, and something that I want to aspire to do for, you know, as long as I can, as many times as I can.
You're in a very special place where you talk about a fan favourite, but everybody around the league wants to see you succeed, unless you're playing them personally. Everyone wants to see you achieve your goals, mate. Thank you so much for joining me, and we're going to be watching the next few months and the next few years very closely.
No, of course, mate. Appreciate you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of The Huddle. We'll have another one coming up in a few weeks, so don't go anywhere, but we appreciate you listening.